We walk with God and we acknowledge Him in all of our ways. That is how we commit our ways to the Lord. And then, you know, when you're living in obedience, did you know it's a lot easier to trust God?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is decision making.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking about making decisions based on the Word of God. When we come to a crossroads in our lives, it's very important that we consult with God before we make any big decision. But it's not just big decisions that we need to come to God for. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing, which means that we should have an attitude of prayer all day long. Even if you can't verbally speak out a prayer when it's time to make a decision, your thoughts should still be turned towards the Lord with everything that you do throughout the day. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we read, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." God is referring to the covenant law laid down in the Old Testament, or better yet, the Ten Commandments that sum them all up. You see, when you're in doubt about what to do in any given situation, you should look towards God's Word. You should look towards the Ten Commandments. Does the decision that you're making line up with what God wills for your life? Because if it doesn't, you won't find rest in the long run. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to step out and do something against God's Word and it won't feel bad at the time, because we don't go by our feelings. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, there's always a consequence to pay, whether at the time or later down the road. So God is saying that when you need to make a decision, you should base your decision on the Ten Commandments. And it's not just the Ten Commandments that we can come to when we're looking for instructions, because even if something does line up with the Word of God, it doesn't mean that it's God's will for your life. There's plenty of things that line up with the Word of God that we can decide to do. But is it what God wants us to do? And in that case, we can come to God Himself. In James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Now see, what God is saying here is basically that if you lack wisdom, just come to Him and ask. And God doesn't play favorites with anyone. Some people think, well, you know, you got to be kind of smart to hear from God when it comes to big decisions, don't you? But that's not true. God can speak a word of wisdom to anyone. For instance, I've had decisions in areas of life that I had no skills whatsoever to make a decision in. And when I prayed about it, God brought the right people into my life to give me instruction on the subject matter that I had no education in. And suddenly I was enlightened on how to make my decision. And so God can and will answer prayer when it comes to needing wisdom. Of course, there are conditions when we come to God for anything, including wisdom and answer to prayer in general. We need to believe that God is going to answer that prayer. When we don't believe that God is going to give us wisdom, we come to Him, we ask, and then we start thinking our own thoughts, and those thoughts can cloud God's voice. Remember, God isn't going to shout anything at you. He's going to come to you in a gentle, small, still voice. And so when we come to God and we're looking for wisdom, we should pray about it, we should believe it, and then wait to receive it, because His Word promises that when we don't doubt, we will get the answer that we're seeking for in wisdom. And God backs this up in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know, says the Lord. So, even in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, God is promising us that if we call upon Him, He will answer us, and He will tell us things. And so, we do have God's promises that He will help us make decisions. And that's an incredible resource that each and every Christian has. But you know, we have something else that can help us make decisions. And this is invaluable because it's the Holy Spirit. It's God Himself living within every Christian. John chapter 14, verses 6 and 17. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Wow, what a powerful scripture. You know, this is what the whole Christian walk is about. It's about living in fellowship with God. We don't have to come to God wondering whether or not He hears our prayers or that He's going to answer our prayers, because as Christians, we have Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God Himself living inside of us, guiding us throughout the day, as long as we are going back to what Jeremiah 6:16 says. It says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is, and walk in it. And see, if we're walking in God's Word, then we are empowering the Holy Spirit. Because see, what happens is, with the Holy Spirit is, God's a gentleman. You ever hear free will? Of course you have. If you want to live your life the way you want to live it, well, God's going to give you leeway to do that. And so when you're living your life and you're deciding that you don't want to obey God and you want to commit sin, you're going to suffer the consequences of that. And one of the consequences that we suffer as Christians when we don't listen to God is that we grieve the Holy Spirit and we quiet the Holy Spirit. We can't hear the Holy Spirit when we're engaged in sinful activities. And you know, today we live in a world where we don't want to hear the word sin. People have issues. That's what's taken the word of sin. He's not really a bad person. He has issues. And then they explain it away to their childhood or their environment. And that's not the case. Every human being suffers from a disease known as sin. Not really saying that sin is a disease, but it's a condition of the human soul, a corrupt condition. And when we yield to it as Christians, we're saying no to God and we're saying yes to the devil. And so our decision-making can become clouded. So we have to be very careful as Christians that we stand at the crossroads and we remember God's commandments. And that way we can be walking in the right direction. I talked with a gentleman the other day, and he told me that God had something else planned for his life than what he was doing. And I asked him, are you stepping out in that direction? He said, no. I asked him why. And he says, well, I know that God doesn't want me doing the thing that I'm doing right now. Because what this man was doing was he was using his talents, then was less than what God had for him. And this man knew in his heart, he actually told me this, that God wanted him to do something else with the talents that he had. And he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And so I asked him, why are you not doing it? And he said, well, I know and hear what God wants me to do, but my flesh doesn't want to line up to it. And so he's having a battle within himself to be obedient to God. So now he's got the right decision to make, but now he doesn't want to make the decision. And so we go to Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. See, this man knows what he's supposed to do. He knows he's heard from God, and now he needs to give careful thought to his ways. Because we don't have to obey God out of free will. We have a choice. And so we can make the wrong choice out of self-want. And that's why it's so important that we learn every day to surrender to God. Because see, sometimes the decisions that we want to make really aren't the decisions that we need to make. And sometimes we get so confused about which way to go. Perhaps you have two directions that you can go in, but maybe neither of those directions are the way that you should go. Perhaps you should stay put for the time being, or perhaps there's a third option that you don't even know about, but God knows. And so every day as a Christian, we should wake up in the morning and we should pray to the Lord and we should ask God to guide our footsteps, to guide our paths, especially when we're in a situation where we don't know which way to turn. Because it's so easy to get ensnared by the enemy when he places decisions in front of you and you're not sure which way to go. And I'm going to tell you something about the enemy. He can come as something that looks very promising, that looks very hopeful, and very enjoyable. But he's a liar. Because what he will do is he will ensnare you. He will entice you. He will convince you that this is the way to go. And then when you go that direction, his promises are empty. They're undelivered. And then he will drop you like a hot potato. And you will be stranded years down the road in a place that you're unhappy at. And you'll be wondering, what happened to my life? It's because you followed Satan. And sometimes he does this very subtly. Now, the man that I talked to the other day, he was being convinced that if he went down the path that he's going down now, that he's going to get fame and fortune and happiness. I tell you what, I have discernment about some things. I don't know everything. I'm not claiming that I do. But I could tell by what the man was doing, and I could tell by just the situation that I had seen that day and past experience for myself. It's all a lie. None of the things that this man believes is going to take place in his life. And you know, I honestly believe that deep down inside, he already knows that, but he's denying it because right now he's enjoying himself. And that's another trick that the enemy makes when it comes to decision making. He will tell a lie such as this: go ahead and do it for now because it is fun. Just enjoy yourself right now. You may never get another chance to have fun like this again. So you better take your chance to have fun while you have it. But what he's not telling you is that while you're wasting your time pursuing these ungodly things, or perhaps they're not ungodly in themselves, but while you're pursuing these things that are not God's will for your life, you're wasting time, you're wasting opportunity that God is trying to give you. And so you're going down the wrong path, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your life away, and years later, you figure out you're in the wrong place. And then he comes to you and says, well, now it's too late. That's the other lie that he follows up with. Well, yeah, look how old you are. God can't use you. In fact, that's what this man had told me. He said that he was too old, too insignificant for God to use. So why even try? So it appears that this man has been going down the wrong road for a while. And that's a shame because God can use anyone at any age. Look at Moses. You wouldn't think that God could enlist an 80-year-old man to come to work for him, but he did. Look at Abraham. No, you're never too old, and it's never too late for God to use you. But that is Satan's lie. Because see, with God, nothing is impossible, and God has a plan for everybody. But the thing is how long do you want to live out of God's plan for your life? How long do you want to go through your life struggling and wondering just what it is that God should be doing for you, when it's you that haven't made the decision to be doing it for God? See, sometimes people come to me and they tell me, I just don't know about what I'm doing in life right now. I feel like there's something else I should be doing. And I ask them, have you talked to God about it? Well, no. I feel like I should be doing such and such. Well, have you tried to do it? Oh, I could never do that. And I just look at them and I'd say, well, how do you know what you can or cannot do if you haven't tried it? If you have a desire in your heart to do something, and it's a burning desire, and you feel like you're missing out on doing it, but it's something that also lines up with God, and then you pray about it, and then you wait for God's answer, and then you hear from him, and you start getting that small, still voice and that little nudge that's telling you that this is something that you should be stepping out to do, why not give it a shot? Why not try it? If it lines up with God's word and it's something that is inside of you that you want to do, and perhaps you have a little bit of knowledge about doing it. Now, knowledge and opportunity are two different things. Like I said, I've talked to people who say that they feel like they should be doing such and such things, but they could never pull it off. And what they're really saying is that they would never get the opportunity to get into the door or get the door open for themselves. Well, guess what? When God calls us to do something, He's the door opener. And the only reason why doors are closed in front of Christians today is because they haven't knocked. God says, knock, and the door shall be opened for you. Seek, and you shall find. But how many of us knock and ask God for decisions? Well, I would hope that it's more than what I see in my walk with God, because the people that I talk to are very discouraged, very talented people who have skills to be working for God are turning away from the work that He has for them. You could see the calling upon these people's lives, yet they're running from God. They're almost like Jonahs. They're either running because they're scared or they're insecure. They believe that they're defeated before they even tried. And that's a shame, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. And so when we have a decision to make and God gives us the answer, whether it be about your lifetime plans, your career, your family, anything, we should believe that if God is providing the answer, then we should trust Him and follow His ways. And sometimes, you know, we think as human beings that we have all the answers. We think because we read a book or we've had an education or we have experience that we have all the answers for our lives and for our decisions, and we don't need God. But that's not true, because in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now listen to the first part of this. First, you have to trust in the Lord. That means you have to have faith. You have to believe what God is telling you in His Word, not just what He's speaking into your heart, but what He's telling you in His Word. So with all of your heart, you have to trust with God. That's the first condition. That way you can hear from Him also. Because if you're not trusting, you're not going to be hearing. Remember what we talked about in the book of James. If you're not trusting God, if you're not believing God, you're going to have a hard time hearing Him. And then it goes on to say, and lean not unto your own understanding. So no matter what you think you've learned or believe outside of God's Word, don't lean on that if it doesn't line up with what God tells you in His Word. Don't lean on your own understanding. And by all means, don't start getting imaginations into your head about what the future is going to hold for you if you make a decision, because you don't know what God is capable of doing when it comes to your future. You know, you can think that if you take a particular job, that you won't make ends meet because of certain conditions that are present in the opportunity ahead of you. And you could turn that job down, even though you know, after you prayed about it, that God has led you to take this job. Now see, I'm speaking from experience, because I was given an opportunity to take a job that I wouldn't be able to receive any payment for approximately 8 weeks. And I was completely broke at the time. And so I thought, man, I better stay put where I'm at. But every time I prayed about this job, I was given peace about it. But as I looked at the circumstances, I thought to myself, there's no way I can make ends meet. But you know something? I stepped out, I obeyed God, and I had more than enough money during those 8 weeks until the money started coming in from the job to support my family. Had I listened to my own understanding and not listened to what God was telling me to do, I would have lost a tremendous opportunity. Because by taking that job, I was prospered in the long run. So sometimes God will tell us to do something that doesn't make sense because we're leaning on our own understanding. God, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. What do you mean do this? What do you mean say this? What do you mean act like this? This doesn't make sense. I don't understand. But when we yield and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust You with all of my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, and I'm going to acknowledge You. That's the other part of this. I'm going to acknowledge You in all my ways. Now, why is that important? Acknowledging God in all of your ways means that you're going to keep His commandments. Remember, we're going back to Jeremiah 6:16. Stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths. In other words, stay in obedience to God. If you're not acknowledging God in all of your ways, if you're living in sin, then how is he going to direct your paths? God will direct your paths through obedience, one step at a time. God will tell you to do something, and when you do it, he will give you the next instruction. Very rarely does God ever give us a full set of instructions, because that would be confusing. Not only that, we would start trying to figure out exactly what God is doing, and then we would start leaning on our own understanding. That's why I believe God gives us one step at a time in most cases. Now, I have met people that have, they've been given complete visions by God, but they haven't been given instructions on how to get to that vision. I myself included in that. I have been given a vision by God, but I had no idea how it was going to be pulled off. But through obedience, by acknowledging God in all of my ways and leaning not onto my own understanding and trusting him with all of my heart, God has walked me through situation after situation to get me to the end results. Now, have I ever failed to acknowledge God in all of my ways? Well, of course, I'm not perfect, but we have to have an attitude of prayer all day long so that we don't fall into temptation. And then when we do fall into temptation and we do mess up, we have to come to God and we have to confess that sin and ask God to set us back on the straight path again. And he will do it as long as our hearts are trusting in him. You can't fool God. He's not a genie. You can't rub a lamp and get God to pop out of it and do whatever you want him to do. We have a friendship with God. We have peace with God through his son, Jesus Christ. This is a relationship, folks. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't a joke. This isn't some kind of gospel of prosperity that we're living. No, we are dealing with the living God who has feelings. Yes, God has feelings. For anybody out there listening that didn't know that, it might shock you. We can hurt his feelings. And so we don't want to come to God living our lives the way we want to live them and then expect him to get us out of every single jam that we fall into. Now, is God gracious? Of course he is. Will God save you out of situations that you don't deserve to get out of? Yes, he will. But you would never have to suffer through any of that stuff or worry about any of that stuff if you would just not lean on your own understanding and acknowledge him in all of your ways. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." You know, when we are trusting God, when we are acknowledging him in all of our ways, God will determine your steps. You know, sometimes I get blessed and I didn't even ask to be blessed. My obedience to God led me straight into blessings. And I was thinking of my own plans in life when suddenly a blessing popped up that I hadn't even thought about because God walked me to it through the obedience that I was displaying to him on a daily basis. What an amazing promise that if we obey God, he will determine our steps. You know, somebody once said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so in Psalms 37, verse 5, God commands us, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him. How do we commit our ways to the Lord? We yield to the Ten Commandments. We yield to obedience. We walk with God and we acknowledge him in all of our ways. That is how we commit our ways to the Lord. And then, you know, when you're living in obedience, did you know it's a lot easier to trust God? Because you're not looking over your shoulder, looking for the consequences of your sin. And yes, sin has consequences. Now, I'm not saying that God is looking down from heaven at Christians or anybody else and pointing his finger at them and saying, I'm going to get you for what you just did. Because I honestly believe that God is a very forgiving God, and I believe that God is patient with us. I don't believe that as soon as we do something, he's ready to slam his hand down on top of us. God wants us to repent from our sins, but there are consequences to sins. I knew a man that couldn't stop hanging around women and fraternizing with them, and he had a fornication problem. Before he knew it, he had several children from several different women, and he had custody battles going with these women, and he had child support payments that were late with these women. How did he get himself into this situation? Fornication, a consequence of his sin. He leaned on his own understanding. He did not acknowledge God in all of his ways, and he certainly wasn't trusting God. And so God tells us in Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that is the greatest promise of all, because here it is. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, if you are acknowledging God in all of your ways, and He is setting your path straight, and so He will give you the desires of your heart. My mom always told me, be careful about the friends you pick, because as you hang around people, their personality can rub off on you, and you can become a lot like them. So if you pick the wrong friends, you yourself can become the wrong person. Now, what's my point in all of that? Simply this, hang around Jesus by reading His Word, fellowshipping with Him in prayer, and through church and other believers. And guess what? He'll rub off on you, and you become more like Him. And then your desires will line up with the desires of God. Because I've heard people take that scripture and say, I wanted to win the lottery. I wanted a brand new car. That's the desire of my heart. But really, is it God's desire? You should be lined up with God. God doesn't come down from heaven and line Himself up with us. That would be ridiculous. If He lined Himself up with us, He would indulge in sin. And God cannot do that. So we have to become more like God. And when we become more like God, we start to think more like God. And when we think more like God, we start to feel more like God. And what I mean by that is that our emotions for the things that we want to have and for the things that we want to do and for the people we want to pick as friends, they become our desires. And so if we delight ourselves in God by spending time with Him, God will give us the desires of our heart. So if you haven't done so already, I would like to invite you to come to Jesus Christ right now by saying this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe You died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins, and I accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin, and I want to follow You for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.